Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and right now joining us in the studio, Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey. It's great to have you back, A.G. Healey.
Great to be with you, Meghna.
So there is a lot to talk about. We got about 15 minutes before we have to wrap up the show, so let's cover a lot of ground, okay? First of all, I want to start with something that, you know what, hang on. It's been that kind of day. I got to get my notes out. Oh, and we have a microphone issue, too, but that's okay.
Okay.
That
helps.
Sometimes a gremlin gets into the works here. Okay, so let me find my notes, because that last conversation we had about consent and conversation, et cetera, was really important and occupied most of my mind. Okay, Attorney General Healey, here you go. I got my notes for you. I wanted to start out by asking you your thoughts on something that the Associated Press said about you recently. This is a simple quote. The AP says, in the years since Trump was elected, few more zealous legal foes of the Republican president have emerged than Healey, the Democratic Attorney General of Massachusetts. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, here's how I see it. My job as Attorney General is to enforce the law and to make sure that we're there, in this case, as the Massachusetts Attorney General, to think about the impact that actions at the federal level or elsewhere are having on Massachusetts' interests. Our residents, our students, working people, and our businesses. And unfortunately, over the last year, what you have seen are any number of actions by President Trump and some of his federal agencies that have been really harmful to Massachusetts' interests. And in the face of that, we have taken action because nobody's above the law in this country. That's why we have a constitution. And it's very clear that when he has done things that are illegal or unconstitutional, my job has been to take him to court to hold him accountable. You know, that's how we were able to stop the travel ban. That's how we were able to get an order that protects DACA and today is allowing, as a result of that court order, the processing of renewal applications for Dreamers. That's how we were able to stop Scott Pruitt twice in his effort to roll back important environmental and energy measures that are about protecting our clean energy investments here in Massachusetts and combating climate change.
Well, so let me just jump in here because that's a an impressive list. But about the travel ban, though, just to fact check a little here, in December of last year, the Supreme Court allowed the third version of the Trump administration's travel ban to go into effect.
Well, for nearly a year, we held that at bay, remember, okay? Because it was we stopped travel ban, the first version, the second version, the third version for a while. And then the Supreme Court allowed, while the case is actually being heard, because it hasn't yet been heard by the Supreme Court, allowed aspects of the third version to go into effect. But the important thing is that through the courts and doing my job as Attorney General, protecting Massachusetts' interests, we were able to take actions and we were able to get some wins along the way that are important. Mm. You know, Meghna, I remember that afternoon when the travel ban went into effect.
Right.
And I was over at Logan Airport, and I saw the lawyers rush in. I saw social workers and translators show up. Over the next few days, the calls I received were not just from immigrant advocacy organizations. They were from our teaching hospitals, worried about the impact on research fellows and students. They were from our higher ed institutions, who literally had professors who were unable to get back into the country and to continue teaching here. You know, I heard from so many in life sciences and tech. We're a knowledge-based, global-based economy here in Massachusetts. So whether you're talking about DACA, whether you're talking about the travel ban, these actions by Donald Trump directly and adversely affected Massachusetts' interests. And that's why, as Attorney General, I'll be there to continue to take actions to enforce the law and to take on this president who continues to do things that are unconstitutional.
Well, there are so many. That's your view. I'm just going to talk about all the things that he has done and get your response to some of them, because it seems like there's something every day, right, that could have a potential effect here in Massachusetts. What about the fact that earlier this month, the Department of Justice and Attorney General Jeff Sessions essentially reversed the policy that the DOJ wouldn't interfere in states that had decriminalized or legalized recreational marijuana. I mean, I think there are a lot of people in Massachusetts who care about that. What do you think the effect might be here?
Well, it's concerning, and that's why I've asked for our U.S. attorney here to clarify the position. It's my view that as a matter of public safety and law enforcement, we should make sure that we are dealing with the illegal trafficking of marijuana. But in Massachusetts and in other states, and I've talked to many of my colleagues, both Democrat and Republican, in other states that have a legalized, regulated marijuana industry, my hope would be we could return to the place that the Obama administration was in with the Cole memo, which basically said we're going to go after the illegal trafficking, deal with situations involving violence and organized crime. But with respect to legalized, regulated marijuana in states, let's let that process be the process by which and through which that is addressed. So I'm hoping for clarification, but we're awaiting that. But, you know, I mean, on the Trump stuff, look, my view is this. We've had over 24 lawsuits, okay? But we haven't sued at every turn when we could have. We have to pick and choose the areas that have the impact. I've focused on healthcare, immigration, energy and in the environment, voting, you name it. Those are the areas we're going to
You have a record to be proud of, but right now it sounds like you're running for a different level of office. I mean, it's a good record. I mean, you're...
Well, let me clarify that, because if you look at the actions we've taken, why do we sue Scott Pruitt? Because we've got a clean energy economy here to protect, and also laws that we're required to abide by here in Massachusetts that enable us to meet our climate goals. Why do we sue and look to intervene to defend the Affordable Care Act? Because our state depends on access to health care. We have a proud record here, and I don't want a situation where people were going to be deprived of access to health care.
Well, so, okay, so let me just jump in there.
Because that was a big hurt.
I do want to jump in here because you mentioned health care. There's so many things to discuss, but like, what's your view as the chief law enforcement officer here in Massachusetts? Because just today, we see that the Department of Health and Human Services, the federal Department of Health and Human Services, you know, in its creation of a conscience and religious freedom division within HHS's civil rights office, essentially is going to expand the ability for doctors or healthcare providers to say, because it's against their conscience or their religious beliefs, to not provide certain medical services. Could be abortion, could be sterilization. It's pretty broad what the administration is saying. So a lot of health experts are saying it could cover a variety of other scenarios. I mean, you were talking about access to health care just now. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Look, we already sued early on when they were going to take away contraception coverage under the ACA. And we also worked hard here in Massachusetts to make sure we had a law in place to provide that coverage for women should that happen. I'll take a look at this, but, you know, to me, it's typical of what we see out of the Trump administration, which is about taking us back to the dark ages on any number of fronts. And certainly here, this is another direct affront to women and women's access to economic empowerment, the ability of women to potentially go to school, to stay in school, to stay in the workplace. But I'm not surprised, because so many things that have been unfair, illegal, unjust, and really backward-looking have been done under the guise of religious freedom. The fact of the matter is...
It's the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
It is, and it's already in place. And that's why, you know, what you've seen is a series of trumped-up, fabricated rationales under the guise of religious freedom, which, frankly, are just actions that are discriminatory and meant to exclude and disempower people. That's what this is about. And when you're talking about reproductive freedom, make no mistake about it. When you're talking about women's access to basic preventative health care services, I'm somebody who looks at that simply as another measure and means by which to hold women back. Mm. It's as simple as that.
So we'll
take action if we need to for the sake of women across the state, because I know you just had a conversation about the importance of sexual health education.
But I'm also looking
These
at the clock here, and I want to get I want to respectfully get the most out of you as I can from the last 6 minutes we got here. Because, again, this is all just recently. Mm-hmm. As you also know, the Department of Justice has been asked by the Department of Homeland Security to consider bringing criminal charges against politicians and mayors of so-called sanctuary cities. We got a couple of those here in Massachusetts. What do you make of that?
Well, again, this is another instance where I think we need to be standing strong for American values, American principles, and the Constitution. And what we don't need in this country to move our cities and states forward are situations where the federal government, instead of being a partner to all of us and trying to move forward and empower people and drive prosperity in our states, drive the economy, instead you've got a federal government that is threatening cities and towns. That's not good. But, you know, unfortunately, that's where we're at. You know, that was the subject of other litigation and successful litigation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, this Department of Justice, which seems to be about injustice at every turn, needs to be continued to take in, to be taken to task in the courts. And so far, we've been successful. I wish they'd cease doing things that are illegal and unconstitutional.
So I want to ask you about something else that you recently did that is truly on the ground here in Massachusetts. It has to do with the MBTA. Because recently your office sent a letter to the T's general manager, Luis Ramirez, about concerns that you had regarding a company that the T may be looking at to partially privatize bus services, this company First Transit, which did absolutely fail on its obligations in a previous state contract that it had won. Why'd you send that warning?
You know, one of my jobs is to protect taxpayers, and for much of our office, it's about making sure that we go after instances of fraud or abuse in the system. And a few years ago, we had this very private company before our office. And basically, there were allegations in our investigation showed real problems with this company. And I want to make sure, in the interest of protecting taxpayers, which is one of my responsibilities, that the administration and the MBTA understand that the company they were considering, that they are considering, had serious problems and had made misrepresentations and also had underperformed under the contract. I don't want commuters and I don't want taxpayers to be unfairly stuck with a bill of bad goods. And so, you know, that's one of the things I do, Magna.
Well, listen to me here, because some of the Massachusetts political types love them. But they're wondering, like, is this you sort of saying something about the Baker administration's attempt to partially privatize the T? Is it a political statement as much as a consumer and citizen advocate one?
Well, what it is an effort to make clear that here's the facts, here's the information about this company. You need to know what you're considering, and it's a matter to me of due diligence. I'll have to, you know, certainly say that I think that driving over here today, we're coming through Kenmore Square, and I see six buses lined up. To me, it suggests there's a problem with the T in the area this morning or this afternoon. I think we need to do a heck of a lot more in terms of investment in public transportation, investment in education and the like, and investment in infrastructure generally. But on this particular...
Are you saying that you don't think the Baker administration has done enough?
I don't think that, as a general matter, we've done enough as a state for many years in these areas. And I think, you know, it's really important. I want Massachusetts to be leading. I want us to be always future looking, and I want shared prosperity across the state. And I just think that some basic pillars of that are, you know, how much time it's taking people to get to work, how much it's costing them, can they count on their kids receiving a top quality education? These are some of the basics. And, you know, unfortunately, as I drive around the state, and I am all over the state, we've got a lot of crumbling infrastructure in place. And my hope is that we make the investments so that we can secure the kind of future here in Massachusetts that I think that people want.
Last time I checked, you were running for re-election for attorney general,
yeah.
not governor, right?
No, and I love my job. You know, every day I get to walk into the office and try to do work on behalf of people. That's what we are at the People's Law Firm. My top priority continues to be the opioid crisis. We've got a major investigation on into all of the manufacturers and distributors of opioids, taking on anti-violence initiatives in schools across the state, combating consumer abuses, which, you know, has us heavily focused on student loan debt right now. Mm-hmm. I have, in fact, set up a whole unit in my office that's helping students who are in debt get into better repayment options and to go after some of the predatory for-profit schools and loan servicers who are out there.
The Trump administration doesn't like that you're doing that.
No, we've had to sue Betsy DeVos over that, too, because she continues to want to give a free pass and a license to these very schools that have taken advantage of thousands of students here in Massachusetts. But to me, you know, it's a real honor and a privilege to be able to be the attorney general, to work with the colleagues that I work with across the office, and to try to help people day in and day out. Nothing gives me greater satisfaction than to hear from somebody as I'm out and about that, you know, we called your consumer hotline and we had nowhere else to go and they helped me. You know, I had a wheelchair that was in for repair and they were able to get it back from me when I wasn't able to get it back from the business. Or we helped, you know, you all helped us get a health insurance issue resolved. Or you helped us find a treatment bed for our sick one who's opioid addicted.
Well, we've just run out of time here. This is one of those days where time is never enough. But Attorney General Maura Healey, thank you so much for coming in. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be with you.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.